Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Hello and welcome to this broadcast on behalf of Let the Bible Speak. I'm glad that you're able to join us today and thank you for spending this time viewing this broadcast. My name is Nigel Campbell. I'm a general practitioner in Lisburn, County Antrim, and I'm also an elder in our Free Presbyterian Church in that same city. Today I've been given a special topic, and that topic is comfort, to bring comfort to the anxious heart, or help for those who are troubled. We're going to read from God's Word, and I would like you to turn with me, please, to Psalm number 55. Psalm number 55, we will see that this is a masculine psalm, one of 13 psalms in our Bible that are there for our instruction. We see that from the margin. So we know already that there's a psalm here that is going to give us instruction and help for those who are in trouble. Let's read the psalm together. Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. And then down to verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there was many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Amen. And God will bless the reading of his word. I want to take as my text today the words of verse 22. It tells us, Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, with the text announced, let's take time to pray and ask the Lord to help us as we look into his word today. Our Father, we thank you for your word, which we've read. We thank you for the instruction that is given here in the psalm. And we pray as we consider this subject of anxiety and distress and trouble, that you will help us to see the instruction for such a person here in the psalm. Lord, we thank you that your ear is open to our cry, and we cry just now that you will come and give us that comfort that we need. We pray that you will open up the scriptures of truth to us. Help me as I preach forth thy word. And we pray that all who listen might have a sense of thy near presence, and that they also might be comforted. So bless us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We all recognize the symptoms of anxiety, I think. Do we stay and fight back, or do we run away? The fight or flight response, as we call it. Those heightened senses that we feel, the eyes are dilated. Maybe you felt it in the playground at school. Maybe there was a bully shaping up for a fight, and do you stay and fight back, or do you run away from him? And your heart was racing, and your breathing was rapid, and your mouth became dry, and maybe the knees got a bit wobbly under the stress that you felt. Or maybe out there on the farm, I'm a farmer's son, maybe you jumped over a gate and were in a field, and you took no notice of the sign about the bull in the field, and then you start to hear the run of feet, and you start to hear the snorting, flared nostrils, and you run for the gate, and you get over it with athleticism that you never knew you had, all to get away from this bull that's chasing you. Well, those symptoms that I've described to you, or that we've thought of in the pictures, are the symptoms that we feel if we are anxious. For most, this comes just in a situation, a panic attack, if we care to think of it that way. It lasts for a short time, and it's gone. But for some, unfortunately, that sense of heightened fear and anxiety can last for a long time. Indeed, it can last long term, where they get no rest, no relief from those feelings of being frightened or anxious. Now, I see people with anxiety every day at my work. The story might vary, the circumstances might differ, but the symptoms are common to all. Maybe it's a job loss for some that has caused them to feel they can't cope. Maybe it's a job loss for you in the midst of this pandemic that we're suffering. Maybe it's a new bad diagnosis that you've received from your doctor. Perhaps you've been told that you have cancer and you will need treatment. And this brings a great anxiety to your heart and to your mind. Maybe as a young person, you're going through exam stress, and the changes in the exam circumstances just now are very pertinent, and you've got essays, and you've got assignments, and you've got a dissertation, and where's it all going to end, and I can't settle myself to do any of it. Sleep disappears. We get so worried that our mind is racing at night, and we can't settle ourselves to do anything. Well, there is help available for someone who feels like that. Now, identifying the source, that's the first thing we must do, and that can be very tricky because it can be multifaceted in its origins. Maybe it's to do with our physical health. Let me take thyroid diseases as an example. Some people who have thyroid disorders become agitated and very anxious, and they need help by having their thyroid condition treated. Others, maybe through medication, might feel that their medicines make them more anxious. And then psychologically, we all differ in having different personalities. Well, maybe your personality is the type that leads you to be a worrier by nature, to be someone who is prone to anxiety. We're not ruling out a spiritual dimension here also. There are some who feel anxious, maybe because of guilt of past sin, maybe because of fear of the future, maybe because of anxiety over their condition before God and they lack assurance of salvation. Maybe they're worried about their families. And so anxiety can start to be something that is persisting in our minds and giving us great trouble. Now, this web of problems can need great skill to disentangle all of these emotions. The sufferer realizes, I have a problem. And not everybody does realize that, and sometimes it needs others to point out to us that we have a problem. But having recognized that we have a problem, then we need to see, I'm not able to fix this myself. I need help. And then when they get to me, if they come to see me, then I feel, well, I've got the easy part of the bargain. They know they've got a problem. They know they need help. Now they're coming to me for that help. But it doesn't have to be a physician, of course. You could talk to a good and trusted friend, someone who listens well, someone who's discreet, someone who's trustworthy, someone who won't go tell the story to the rest of your bubble or the rest of your friends. So choose your friends carefully, especially if you're going to divulge innermost thoughts of your heart and mind. What might they recommend? What might I recommend if you come to see me if you're anxious? Well, I'm going to recommend a routine, a good routine to start. This is often the first casualty when people suffer mental health disorders. The routine goes haywire. Mealtimes are erratic. Their bedtime becomes very late. Then they're tired during the day and they go for a nap during the day, and the whole routine of their lives is upset. Well, this is never going to lead to someone finding a cure or a help for their trouble. We recommend regular exercise. Some of us are better at that than others, granted. But exercise is good for the mind and for the soul, and so we need to take exercise. Exercise these bodies, and we will benefit mentally from that. We need to think about downtime from work. Maybe you're in middle life. Maybe you've become a workaholic. Oh, it creeps on gradually, doesn't it? This needs done before tomorrow. I'll just do a couple of hours this evening before I go back into work in the morning. Well, that can lead to anxiety and stress. We need to have a proper balance between our work and our leisure time. And maybe you need to address that in your life. Then there are talking therapies. And these abound nowadays, and I'll say a little more about them in a moment. They're to be preferred over medication, and that is the final thing that I'll mention, that there are also medicines that can help those who feel anxious. I say talking therapies are common, and they're promoted, and we see that in the media, and we see that in our newspapers every day. And they do help by helping us to redress the negativity that we might feel. But some of the more involved techniques are based on Eastern religions. And the Christian always needs to be wary that any therapy chosen in any aspect of their lives is in keeping with their fundamental Christian viewpoint and beliefs. So be careful what therapies are chosen and what therapies you use. With regard to medication, that is still useful and still very much in my toolbox. In the 1960s, a group of drugs known as the benzodiazepines were first discovered. They were a breakthrough. This was the first good treatment, really good treatment for anxiety. And sadly, we had a whole generation of people who were put onto these drugs, not knowing then, as we do now, that they are very addictive. And for that reason, they're not prescribed routinely just now, and we tend to reserve them for cases where we need a short-term help or comfort. There are other medicines now available, and these will be under the guidance of your doctor or your healthcare professional. You may need an onward referral. I don't discount this. Sadly, some people are so distressed in their emotions that they need more help than I'm able to provide, and they need referred to mental health services, and they may need the help of a psychiatrist. But again, if this is the case, there should be no shame in this. This is a disorder that has come as a result of Adam's first sin, like all other disorders and diseases. And if we need help, then we should seek out that help that is available. Now, as Christians, we turn to God's Word in our difficult emotions. And we have help in God's Word for all of these difficulties that we face. Psalm 55 is one such psalm. And the psalms are those that part of our Bible that we turn to when we do face these difficult emotions, because here we have the emotions described for us, and we've also got a godly response described for us to those emotions. David is distressed and anxious. We have seen that in the psalm. Look at verse 4. There we read, "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me." We see the description there. His heart, his innermost being, feels the pain of anxiety and his distress. And it feels like a terror to him. In verse 5, we read that there's fearfulness and trembling, and that's all part of the emotion of anxiety that we might feel. So David here is anxious, truly anxious in this psalm. Then we see the flight response that David tells us about in verses 6 through 8. For he said to himself, "Oh, that I was like a dove and I could fly away from all of this. Oh, that I could wander far off and remain in the wilderness, that I could only get away from all my troubles." That's flight. We want to fly away from it all and find comfort in solitude, comfort in having these problems removed from us. And the Bible tells us, uses the word Selah there, we're to think about this. For even there in the distance, we may not get comfort from our troubled minds and our troubled thoughts. And then there's crying out. We saw that in verse 2. Attend unto my cry and my mourn and my complaint, and I make a noise. David is crying out to the Lord for help in the midst of his distress. Where's the help? Where's the instruction in this psalm? It's a maschil psalm. There is instruction here. Where do we find that instruction? Well, I see a number of things in the verses from verse 16. I see, first of all, prayer here in the psalm. Now, this is often remiss, isn't it? In us as Christians, let's see what it says. "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." We often pray in our troubles, but maybe if our troubles become very acute and very difficult, we've no longer got the strength to pray, and we're so distressed that maybe we need to ask others to pray for us. I like the regularity of the psalmist's prayer. He prayed three times. He prayed morning, noon, and at night. That reminds me of Daniel, where we read of him that he prayed three times a day, even though when circumstances all around him were against him and he was commanded not to worship anyone else, Daniel stuck by his routine. He stuck by his communion, his daily communion with his God. Oh, we deny ourselves so much help by not coming more often to the Lord in prayer. Joseph Scriven knew much trouble in his life, and he's written for us that beautiful hymn about the friendship that we have in Jesus, and how that he bears our sins and our griefs. And we have a privilege to be able to take it to him in prayer, all of our problems. But we often forfeit the peace that we should feel. We often forfeit the comfort that's there for us in God's word because we don't come to him in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Secondly, I see peace here in the psalm. We see prayer, but we see peace. And we see that in verse 18. "He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there was many with me." Christian, we need to remind ourselves of what we already know when we feel distressed and anxious. We have peace with God. It's a done deal. We have been reconciled to God if we have come to him and forgive and asked for forgiveness for our sins. We have that peace that no man can take away from us. We are God's children. We are held in the hollow of his hand, and we know peace with God. We can also know the peace of God, and that's what we need, and that's what's offered to us here in the psalm. I see something else here. I see provision here for us. Look at that in verse 22, our text. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." There's provision for us here. There is sustenance here for us in the middle of our trouble. Now, do you notice the words that are used? It says, cast your burden. Throw it off. get rid of it. Don't keep it to yourself. We're to cast this away from ourselves. And when we think about our cares, we're not talking here about diligent care. Matthew Henry, I think it is, who speaks that these verses don't speak about diligent care. They speak about distrustful care. I suppose the New Testament equivalent of this verse in the Psalms is 1 Peter 5, verse 7, which tells us, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, this is not diligent care. We say to each other as we leave, take care on the roads. We say at night time and to our elderly relatives, if they leave, take care on that step, watch you don't fall. That's diligent care. That's necessary care. That's appropriate care. No, the care that is in view here that has to be cast aside is distrustful care. That care which seems to forget that we have a God in heaven, that we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. What else do we have here in the verse, in the text? Well, I see also that there is a promise for us. Do you see that at the end of verse 22? We're told there that he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's a settled, that's a secure place. And in the midst of our turmoil and our trouble and our anxiety, we feel anything but settled and secure. But here the Lord promises to us that we will never be moved and that we will be kept by him. Look back at that first line in verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Now, if you have a Bible with a margin, as I do, you will see that that can also be translated, cast thy gift upon the Lord. Surely this is a mistake. Surely burdens could never be seen as gifts, could they? Well, let's think about it this way. Maybe if the Lord has caused you to be burdened or allowed you to be burdened, and if in that burden you are caused to run to Christ, to run to the one who is your rock, to run to the one who has given you peace and can give you peace, to pray to him, to commune with him, then to you those burdens are indeed great gifts because they send you back to the God of all comfort. I have another verse that I want to leave with you today, and that's a verse that we find over in the book of Philippians. Those who know me well will know that this is my favorite book, and indeed this is probably my favorite verse in the Bible. It's the book of Philippians written by Paul, and it's the verse 7. And it tells us that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Look what we've got here. We've got the promise of peace. I've already said that we have the peace of reconciliation when we come to the Lord for forgiveness for our sins. And that is a judicial act where God looks upon us through his Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the good that he did is transferred to our account, and the bad that we did, our sins, are transferred to his account, and he carries that sin away, and we're forgiven. We're justified in God's eyes through the shedding of Christ's precious blood. And that gives us peace, the peace of reconciliation. But here we have the peace of God. That's something which God owns, God has, and he wants to impart to us. And Paul, even though he's the great theologian of our Bibles, even though he's the one who's so gifted in his words and his descriptions, he's not able to describe this peace. He tells us that it passes our understanding. It's only those who have experienced it who really understand what that peace is like. I wonder, do you know that peace? Look what it does for us. That peace keeps, protects, garrisons, guards our hearts, where our emotions are, our minds, where our intellect and our thoughts are. All of that is guarded by God's peace. We need this peace. And how do we get this peace? Well, like all the other benefits of the gospel, it's given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that gives us peace. The verse reads that It will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have peace with God in salvation. We now have the peace of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled," he says, "neither let it be afraid." Christ is the giver of all the comfort that we need. Christian, if you're in trouble today, if you need God's comfort in your heart, then turn to him in the Scriptures. Find him in the Scriptures. Pray to him. Find that peace. Understand there's provision made for you, and take hold of the promise and learn to live by faith in the light of Christ's soon return. And if you don't know him today, my friend, there is no peace for you. We're told in the Psalms that God is angry every day with those who are sinners, those who remain in their sin. And if you're to know peace with God and to know the peace of God, then you need to repent of your sin and you need to come to Christ and flee to him for forgiveness. I pray that this day you will turn to him in your great need and you will find in him the one who has the answer to all of life's problems. I thank you for listening, and I pray that these words will have been a help and a comfort to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Scriptures that we've been enabled to look at together. We think of many who perhaps are struggling with fear and anxiety and cares in their lives. We thank you for the promise here of the word. We thank you for the provision that's made for us. And we pray that you will give us grace to be able to take hold of that promise that's there for us. Help us to cast our cares upon him, for he careth for us. And Father, we pray for those who maybe don't know thee as yet. We pray that by your Spirit and through your word, you would apply these gospel truths to their hearts and help them to flee to Christ, the one who can save their souls. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name and for his sake and his eternal glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.